Chapter 7.
How much farther do you think it will be until we reach the kingdom of Goria, Master?
Vesta asked. Before I answered the elvish witch's question, I shielded my eyes and stared off into the distance. The vast kingdom didn't appear too far off, and I could already make out its details. The realm consisted of a towering cluster of stone houses, churches, and one grand palace made from black and white granite. The gates were built from gold, silver, marble, and although they weren't as tall as other barriers we'd come across, they appeared sturdy enough to keep out any enemies. Giant palm trees towered above the neat structure of the city, and the castle pillars nearly touched the clouds. From afar, it seemed like a sturdily built realm with plenty of security, but I wasn't going to make any assumptions until we were inside its walls. I'm not sure, I responded as I looked down at the compass and stared at the steady needle. We should have reached the gates by now. But the further we walk, the further the kingdom seems to push back.
Walking is so much more tiring than flipping my fin.
Marina sighed, and the former siren glanced down sadly at her boot-clad humanoid feet.
I don't think everything in this realm is as it appears. It may seem like we're getting closer, but that could just be an illusion.
What do you mean, Morgana?
Some holy realms possess a powerful elder magic.
The bookish brunette explained as we pushed onward.
One that causes illusions and mirages of deceit upon those who harbor dark power? Is that so?
Penelope asked with a raised orange eyebrow.
Is there any way to erase it? There is.
Vanessa replied in lieu of Morgana.
But I'd rather not risk using such a powerful curse. If it takes us hours to reach the kingdom by foot, then so be it.
I agree, I said, without taking my eyes off the compass. Let's try to remain as inconspicuous as possible. We have no idea what kind of holy power lurks behind those walls.
Yes, Master.
My coven replied in unison.
Should I fly ahead and scope out the area, Cole? I'm sure I can reach it with my wings. They're more powerful than any kind of magic.
Well, that might be a good idea, I said, before I stopped in my tracks. We'll need to disguise you, though.
Are you talking to Alexander?
Faye asked with a small smile. Yes. I think we should transform the familiars and have them fly ahead to check out the gates. That way we can get an idea of what we'll be up against, so we can formulate a plan.
I had a feeling you'd say that, Master.
The redhead smirked and rubbed her hands together.
If I may, I've been working on a new spell I'd like to try. It only works on animals, but it should morph the familiars into holy birds, and this time the spell won't dissolve until we command it to. That sounds rather complicated,
Vanessa said as she chewed on her bottom lip.
Most incantations wear off after a set time. Are you sure you can do it, Faye?
Before the redhead could respond, Morgana sucked in a sharp breath of air and her blue eyes widened with shock.
Sorry,
the brunette mumbled when everyone turned to look at her.
I'm just not accustomed to hearing the professor use our names like that. Would you prefer if I kept referring to you as Miss?
Vanessa asked with a small smile.
It seems a little silly now, since we're bonded by unholy power, blood, and the seed of our master. It's totally fine.
Morgana stuttered, and she waved her hands back and forth as her cheeks flushed a rosy pink.
I mean, if you'd like to, that's perfectly fine. It's just it might take me a while to not refer to you as Professor. Don't have an aneurysm, Morgana. She said it's fine. Anyway, to answer your question, Vanessa, I've been using my spare time to practice on worms and newts, so yes, I'm sure I can do it. Very well. I have faith in you, so go ahead.
The redhead nodded eagerly, clearing her throat, and rolled up her sleeves before she took a step forward and then looked at the familiars. The animals all stared at the red-headed witch with bulging eyes and small frowns, like they were nervously waiting for whatever was about to happen. Relax, Alex. You're in good hands.
If you say so, Cole. It's not fun having your insides twist and turn uncontrollably.
Don't bitch.
Hey, I'm not bitching,
he said. But before my furry familiar could complain any further, Faye flicked her wand in three large circles above her head.
Donec, aliter transformaiubis!
Once the incantation left her lips, a giant blue cloud of smoke swallowed the familiars and shrouded them entirely. I could hear each beast squawking and cooing from behind the fog, and when the air cleared, the familiars were hovering above the ground. They were disguised as snow-white birds with silver-trimmed wings, and their necks were thick and muscular. I half expected them to look like minuscule doves, but instead they resembled great white beasts the size of wolves. Well done, Fay. I smiled. You look great, Alex.
I feel like a fool,
my winged familiar pouted.
Look at my wings! I don't even have my blades on! I look like a holy flying fuck!
Which is exactly the point. Now, when you fly ahead, keep your eyes peeled and watch over the others. Understood?
Yes, Cole. You can count on me.
I nodded in response as the disguised creatures took flight, and when they beat their wings and flew higher into the air, I squinted and protected my eyes against the bright morning sun. Do you see anything, Alex? I asked after a couple of minutes.
We're almost there, but I can already see a few guards standing watch just outside the kingdom gates,
Alex said in my head. I figured. Anything else?
Nothing we haven't seen before. Just several holy guards. If I were you, I'd find a way to sneak in without causing a ruckus, though. There could be more of them lurking around.
What do the people look like? Any unique features?
Nope. They look like you, Master. More man-like than creature. Nothing different or distinct.
So, what's the plan, Master? Another disguise spell or potion? Oh, I hate disguises.
Marina pouted.
As much as I miss my tail, I love my new form too much. Master finds it so sexy.
Well, I don't think that's necessary anyway, I said before I looked at the women. Apparently, they look just like me, so Vesta, Nyx, Marina, and Cersei, I think you'd best wait here and keep watch while we sneak inside. You're the only ones who would stick out. I'll have the familiars fly back and make sure you're kept safe, just as another precaution.
Yes, Master.
The unique-looking witches agreed.
We'll protect our master inside. I gotta say, I really like this version of Vanessa.
Akira whispered in my ear.
It's like someone pulled the stick out of her ass. Cole did pull the rod out of my ass. Sorry? I didn't realize you could hear. Then he put his rod deep into another one of my holes.
Every woman looked at the teacher with their eyes and mouths opened.
Professor?
Morgana cleared her throat after a few moments.
Did you just make a joke? I thought I did.
Vanessa sighed as she rolled her eyes.
But none of you are laughing, so...
Then the group burst out laughing, and the professor's cheeks actually reddened a bit as she smiled at us. The humor only lasted for a minute, but I could almost see the stressful weight fall away from everyone's shoulders, and Akira was actually wiping away tears from her eyes by the time she finished laughing.
Well, with that out of the way...
Vanessa chuckled with her hand on her hip.
It looks like we'll have to make an excuse as to why we're passing by. Is the kingdom in demand for something?
Penelope asked with wide brown eyes.
If there is a short supply of goods, then perhaps we can create the illusion that we're bringing something in? Clever idea, Penelope. Most holy kingdoms rely heavily on celestial steel as a means of income and trade. If we can create a wagon supply of blades, then surely we can get inside. The only problem is all the delusion spells I can think of are terribly complicated. I can do it,
Beatrix said as she raised a shaky hand in the air.
Or at least I think I can. When we were back at Scholomance, I read this one book that explains how to create moving illusions, and it's supposed to last for as long as one needs to, but I can't say anything for certain.
Better than nothing, I replied with a light shrug. Do you need anything to perform the charm, Beatrix?
I'll just need some sweet sugar plum seeds, a pinch of pink salt, and a dash of yellow mustard powder. They are fairly simple ingredients, and they grow in almost every realm. Perhaps we can look in the grove of trees growing over there?
Beatrix pointed to a small woodland just east of us, and I didn't feel an ounce of danger radiating from the trees as I stared long and hard at them. All right, let's split up and find them. If it's simple, I'm sure we can find whatever you need, but we need to be as quick as possible. Let's meet back here when we're done.
Yes, Master.
The coven said in unison. We marched down to the trees, and when we were fairly deep inside the grove, we divided into different directions. I walked for several minutes, and it didn't take long before I noticed something stuck in between the cracks of a tree. It was a thick yellow paste, and it smelled like a smoky chunk of meat. I felt a strong pull toward it, like it was calling to me, and without questioning the extent of my power, I took my blade out and swiped the gunk from the tree. Then I rejoined the others, and I smiled when I saw several ingredients in their hands. Oh, do we have everything we need?
Yes, Master.
Beatrix nodded after she looked over all the items.
Now, all we have to do is burn the ingredients together in a cauldron. And when it's a thin brew, we need to join hands and recite a special charm. Then the cauldron should morph into whatever we desire.
We'll do whatever we need to. And we'll follow your lead, Beatrix.
Allow me to help. Apparent in caldarium!
A dark cauldron suddenly appeared at the professor's feet, and without wasting a moment, Beatrix started to toss in the ingredients, one by one. When the women's hands were empty, I handed Beatrix my blade, and she swiped the paste and let the yellow, cement-like texture fall into the glittering brew. Then, a large cloud exploded from the surface, and together the coven joined hands and followed Beatrix's lead.
Everyone, close your eyes and repeat after me. Cum hisuribux, peto ut vertus mea decidere verit, creere error.
I tightened my hold with the two witches by my side, and when the charm-talented Wicca uttered the last words, a series of shivers ran up my spine. My body shook, my head throbbed, and my eyes pricked behind my skull, but an incredible surge of power took over my senses as I pictured a cart before us. Then, when everything grew steady, I opened my eyes and smiled. A large wagon filled with all types of beautiful weapons was displayed in the middle of the grass. There were also a pair of dark brown oxen ready to drag the heavy vehicle down to the kingdom gates so we wouldn't waste time dragging it ourselves. Perfect. I grinned. Now let's get a move on. Circe, Marina, Nyx, and Vesta, will you be all right here on your own?
Yes, Master. We'll be fine. Go on. She's right.
Marina said with a confident grin.
We can handle ourselves. Go tear down a kingdom, my lord.
Circe hissed with a dark and pleased smile tugging at her lips.
Yeah, we'll hide ourselves and take a nap or whatever.
Nyx smirked. And when I shot the blue-skinned witch a pointed look, she smiled sheepishly.
But, of course, we'll keep our eyes peeled for Elder Fox and their minions.
Good. I nodded. I'll return for you soon. Then, without anyone making any commands, the oxen started to move on their own. We followed closely behind, and their heavy feet pounded against the grass as they dragged the wagon downhill toward the city. We steadily drew closer to the outside of the marble gates, and when we were a few yards away, I could see four or five guards standing watch, just like Alex said.
There are dozens of guards inside, Alex warned in my head. We're deep in the heart of the city right now, and I can see many soldiers walking down the streets, so don't give yourselves away just yet.
Understood, I whispered, and then I looked over my shoulder to glance at the others. Let me do all the talking.
Yes, Master.
My coven muttered back. When we reached the gates, I cleared my throat before I approached the gold-armored guards. They were tall men with broad shoulders and long capes, and their long swords were sheathed in tan leather. Each time they moved, their blades rang like bells against their belts, and I knew they were doing their best to appear as intimidating as possible. Good morning, I smiled. We come bearing supplies for the king. Where are you from? A guard with plum brown hair asked as he raised an eyebrow in my direction. We weren't told of any weapons coming in today. From the Kingdom of Lyseth, I responded without missing a beat, and my own response surprised me, but I didn't show an ounce of doubt on my face. We possess the highest quality of steel in the Holy Realms.
We know,
another soldier with bright blonde hair remarked, and his face was contorted into a sour expression.
Lyseth is known for its abundance of steel. Did the king send a raven for more supplies?
No, this is simply a gesture of good faith. I'd like to speak privately with the king and inform him that we'd love to double our supply per year. There is a war on the horizon, you know.
We know.
The dark, purple-haired guard growled again.
Which is why we're taking extra precautions.
I knew what the holy bastard was implying. Security was tightened, and if we wanted to pass through the gates, I'd need to be more convincing than usual. So I smiled and sighed deeply.
I fully understand your concern, but what do you think will happen if the king finds out you've turned down a full supply of weapons?
I don't think he will be too pleased. As I said, there's a giant war between elders and Wiccans brewing.
He has a point,
the blonde guard remarked after a pregnant silence, which caused the other soldier to spin around and glare at him.
I am aware of that, Bronn,
the plum-haired soldier snapped, and spittle landed on the other man's face as he spoke.
However, I am in charge of the King's Guard, and therefore I am in charge of letting people in and out of our holy realm, which means I get the final word.
Of course,
the blonde soldier responded in an awkward tone.
I apologize, sir.
That's what I fucking thought,
the king's guard growled in a low voice. He then studied me from head to toe before he glanced at my beautiful counterparts.
Why do you bring so many women with you?
Surely they aren't all yours. They are far too lovely and fair for one man alone.
Aye,
but they are. I smiled. As a reward for my undying faith and hard work, the Elder Lord bestowed me with the realm's finest women.
He must have bestowed you with the world's finest cock,
the guard hissed as he met my gaze and stared enviously into my eyes.
All right, you may pass. Go straight to the palace, leave the wagon outside the armory, and ask for a private audience with the king.
Will do, I nodded.
Thank you for your time.
The guard grunted in response, and when the marble gates slowly parted open, they made a low creaking noise. I took a deep breath when I saw the bustling city, and the oxen slowly moved forward on their own. My coven followed closely behind me, and as we passed through the streets, we did our best to keep to ourselves and not make eye contact with the villagers.
Stay close,
I muttered as we passed by a busy fish market.
We don't know if anyone has the power of foresight or any other heightened holy abilities.
I didn't even think of that. Good thinking, Master. Yes, it's a valid concern. Sometimes the most powerful beings can be masked as a common peasant. Noted. I'll do whatever it takes to protect our master. I second that.
Faye affirmed with her pointed chin raised. I suppressed a proud smile as we trekked through the cobblestone streets and passed by countless whitewashed houses, and the further we walked, the more I observed the kingdom. A glittering, winding river ran through the city, and countless peasant women were either gathering its fresh water with wooden buckets or kneeling down by the bed and washing their clothes. The streets were crowded, and villagers sometimes glanced our way, but most people continued to quietly carry on. Children of all ages were trotting after their mother's skirts, and when I looked down a narrow street, I thought I saw something that resembled a small church. Then I thought of the dead children we needed to resurrect, and wondered if there was a nearby graveyard.
Hey, look over at the church.
The women gradually stopped in their tracks, and Penelope was the first one to flash me a smile.
You intend to resurrect the children before we see the king, right, Master?
Yes. I nodded. We will bring hell down on the villagers before we slaughter the king and his guards. It will be total glorious chaos.
How exciting. I can't fucking wait to see these people grasp hopelessly on their crosses as they die long and painful deaths. The idea is invigorating. But first, let's find the graveyard. It's probably near the church.
I agree, I answered as I stared around the loyal group. Follow me. My coven nodded simultaneously before we swiftly headed down toward the church, and Alex and the familiars hovered high above us. I braced myself for whatever may lie ahead and willed the darkness to come rushing to my side. I needed all my unholy power to wreak havoc on the city, and I knew, no matter how powerful I was, it would be a draining endeavor. When we reached the church doors, large golden crosses were embedded on the handles, clearly designed to keep witches out. I didn't feel like burning my skin or causing any kind of ruckus, so I covered my hands with the sleeves of my cloak and pushed the doorway open. The inside of the church was as cold as a winter morning, and the air was thick with sweet-smelling smoke. Candles were lit in every corner of the room, and there was a marble altar in front of us. No one seemed to be inside, and I thought we were alone until we heard a voice mumbling somewhere. "Is anyone here?" I asked, and my voice came out like an echo.
"But of course,"
the voice said, and then a tall man with a silver beard popped up from behind the altar.
"Welcome, my children. What brings you here on this fine day?"
"We wish to confess. Perhaps you can help us?"
"But of course,"
the priest repeated with a soft smile. I was halfway across the room by the time I stopped in my tracks, and when the priest realized I wasn't going to step any closer, he raised a quizzical eyebrow and retreated from the altar.
"Is something wrong, my son?"
"Not at all," I grinned.
"Then why do you linger instead of approaching the altar?"
he asked as he drew closer. And with every step he took, my heart beat faster and harder. I discreetly reached down into my waistband and gently curled my fingers around the hilt of my dagger. I tried my best not to smile until he was only a few feet away from me. And once he was close enough, I slowly started to unsheath my weapon.
"Now, what do you wish to confess?"
The priest started to ask, but then his eyes went wide and his mouth quivered.
"Wait. Your eyes there, as crimson as blood. What are you? Who are you?"
"Satan reborn," I said, and my voice reverberated through the church like a brewing sea storm.
"Holy Lord,"
the priest mumbled before he feebly attempted to reach for another cross in his waistband, but when he retracted his hand, I realized it was a masked dagger. Before the old man could plunge the weapon into my chest, I raised my unholy knife and stuck it into the side of his gut. He wailed in pain and choked on blood before he fell to his knees, and a broad smile spread across my face as I twisted the blade inside his body. The more I pushed, the more my blood began to pound and rush through my body like an intoxicating drug.
"Tell your elder lord I'm coming for him,"
I whispered into his ear before he succumbed to his wound and fell to the ground. I smiled as I stared down at the pool of blood spilling around the priest, and when all was still, I could feel something drawing me to another door in the back of the church.
"Master?"
Revna whispered as she came up behind me with her bow drawn and ready.
"What is it?"
"Follow me," I grinned. "I know where the graveyard is, and it's time to enact my first unholy miracle."